Blog Talk Radio.
Coast to coast, town to town, and station to station, it's the herd mentality. Advising you of all your medicinal needs, recreational uses, and these travels through the universe. East Coast, West Coast, it's the herd mentality. I think life could be just a little more fun. You remember the old days when you were young? It can all happen here. Right here on the herd mentality. Into the herd mentality. Stay tuned for more of the herd mentality.
I heard. Good day, everybody. I hope it's wonderful like it is here wherever you are. And today is 7/21/17. Our show's titled Katie Did Sing May Apples, Long Tails, Weasels. And today is the day on my calendar that says Katie Did Sing. And Katie Did's been singing for a while now already, but I don't think probably these critters and things that I talk about on my calendar actually get to read the calendar, so maybe, you know, they don't always start on the right day or whatever. Anyhow, it's also the time of year when the May apple fruits start ripening and falling on the ground. If you have those in your neighborhood. Excuse me. Got a little frog in my throat. And it is also the time of year when the long-tailed weasels start breeding, and they'll do that from now all the way through August. And we're not going to talk too much about weasels today because I don't know a whole lot about weasels as critters, but I know a lot of people weasels, and those are interesting critters for sure. Anyway, we're going to mostly focus on Katie Dids today because I kind of like them, and they're really unique, and they come in a variety of shapes and sizes and colors and patterns and variations, and they're mostly like grasshoppers, basically, but they're out more in the evening than during the day. So, I'm going to go ahead and get on into the Katie Dids. Oh, we're waiting on callers to call in, and I think the caller that's listening now for calling in for sure. Anyway, I'm going to read a little piece that I borrowed from our state conservation department, and it is kind of entitled, Katie Did, Katie Didn't. As spring warms to summer, nature makes new sounds. The evening's toad and frog chorus makes way for a symphony of insect sounds. One of the loudest and most familiar calls belongs to the katydids. These insects make their distinct katydid, katydidn't song by rubbing their wings together. The sharp edge of the right front wing moves rapidly against the file-like ridge on the left front wing. to produce a more tense signal, they synchronize their calls with other katydids hidden in the treetops. Both male and female katydids sing to attract mates. After mating in the fall, the female lays her eggs on bark and young stems. The eggs are dormant through the winter and hatch the following spring. Katydids are a type of grasshopper. Their green bodies have long, slender legs, large, veined wings, and antennae, which are twice as long as most grasshoppers. Because of their antennae, they are called long-horned grasshoppers. These insects are believed to mate mostly at night and to use their long antennae to help locate each other. And here's I've got three or four more little facts about katydids that maybe people do or do not know. And katydids are members of the Tetragonidae family of grasshoppers, and that means, and in case I don't speak very good Latin, so feel free to correct me if you want to, but that's their family taxonomically based on Latin language. Anyway, the meaning of that is they are long-horned, and their antennae are longer than their body, and I just said that. Sometimes when you pick up a katydid, a substance comes out of its mouth. This is defensive, and grasshoppers are the same way. It's a naturally secreted defense. And some folklore have you believe it's tobacco juice, but that's not true. Full-size katydids grow to measure around 2.5 inches long. They are quite a bit larger than a lot of grasshoppers that you see popping up around, you know, jumping around you, walking in the fields and during the daytime. And it's a short-winged katydid. There is a short-winged katydid, at least in our state, and it's really, really rare and hardly ever seen. But it's colored bubblegum pink color. So anyway, that's katydid and katydidn't and Katy and Kitty and Katy and merchants and, you know, things like that. Anyway, hello caller, thanks for calling. And that's about all I got to say about them critters today. And for at least the time being, I believe it's just you and I here. So how are you doing today? And you got anything to add about katydids or katydidn'ts or any questions that I might be able to answer?
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, you said you like katydids. This tells me you have personal experience with them. Like, are they in your environment, personally in your environment?
Yeah, I see them around my place all the time, you know, this time of year. And they're not real as fearful of humans or even a lot of other critters, at least during the daytime. They're more defensively oriented towards the night. So, I mean, during the day, you can, like, catch them, and they'll just sit on your hand and crawl on you. And the ones, the more common ones that we see all the time here are a real bright, limey, chartreuse green color, which is, like, one of my favorite colors. So I like them. But, yeah, I see them around, you know, during the day. They'll lounge around on plants and, you know, some are in the treetops. And but, yeah, they're around. They're part of the food chain here.
Oh, nice. Well, when you talk
what about where
it?
You are?
Well, they're not so much
you
around
have
here. There are katydids, but they're not so very much around.
Yeah. That kind of varies depending. Yeah, that varies a lot depending on your latitude.
Yeah. And your vegetation, what things are like, what they like.
Right.
But you're talking about how they lay their eggs in their dorm in the fall and they're dormant in the winter. So if
mm-hmm.
they're out during the day, is it their music, their katydids, a lot of that take care of at night?
Yeah, they're more interested in mating at night and feeding during the day. And more even, they'll be feeding at night also. But more during the day, they're kind of just lounging around. And, you know, if the female is recently mated, you know, she might be depositing eggs on plant stems and tree bark and places like that.
Yeah, because I
and
hear
that's
them.
Probably,
I just don't see them.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I hear them at night, but I don't see them.
Right. Yeah, they're a lot easier to hear at night than they are to see. But they're very distinctive, their calls. And there's cicadas and frogs and toads and everything calling at night now. And they're pretty distinctive, I mean, closer to cicada singing, but very distinctly different. But, yeah, I got all kinds of stuff around in my trees in my backyard hollering at me every night I go out there now. It's pretty cool.
Kind of like your
or
own orchestra.
Like sometimes it does seem that way. Yes, it does.
Lovely.
Boy, I tell you what, it show is hot. I checked the thermometer before the show, right before the show started, and it's 93 in the shade here. And there's, like, no breeze, hardly at all. And I think the humidity is probably about 93,000% or something close to that. Yeah,
tropical.
It's nice and cool. Yeah, pretty close. Sweltering. Not fit for man or beast out there.
No,
I don't know,
is
I
it
often
here?
Wondered. Go ahead. No,
it's,
what is it there?
High humidity, very high humidity, and very hazy. And it's hard to see the sun because where I am, the California fire smoke has reached. So it's making our skies hazy.
Yeah. Yeah, them big old fires, that smoke goes and gets up in the jet stream and goes all the way across the country until it gets dissipated.
Yeah, that's for sure. So I'm looking
and I don't know, we haven't had, since the fire started, we haven't had much rain here to speak of. I mean, that helps get those particulates out of the air, the precipitation does.
Right, and there isn't much rain here. And so it's just hanging and hanging around and not going much anywhere.
Can you smell it?
Sometimes there's a hint of it. Almost a taste,
mm-hmm.
almost too. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're having some big old fires going on for sure. And but I mean, they always do. It's, you know, an annual event there. And that's really, I mean, normal for nature, especially in forests. That's actually, in the long run, beneficial to the forest to burn away all the leaf litter and things that keep new growth from emerging from the soil and
mm-hmm.
to take out the dead trees to make room for more, you know, new healthy trees to get sunlight. So it's really, you know, it's part of the process.
Well, yeah, part of the circle of life, I suppose.
Yeah, there's a purpose and a reason for everything, as far as I can tell, on the 50-whatever years that I've been here on the planet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So you were talking about the male apple, the male apple fruit. You know, are you getting taking advantage of any of the ripened fruits there, the apples, any other fruit?
Not those kinds. No, I'm not eating those apples. No, okay. I've never even tried one of those kind. I'm not sure. I think, and it's been a long time since I looked them up, they may be poisonous and not poisonous like they kill you. But poisonous, like you don't want to eat them because you're going to get sick or, you know, poop like a goose or something like that. And that's never a party.
Well, I wouldn't want that. Wow.
But the May apples are a real distinctive growth in the springtime around here, and they'll start flowering like the apples that are ripe and falling off now came from flowers that were produced in the spring, like other fruit. And but right about that same time when the May apples start flowering is when typically, depending on the weather and precipitation, especially when you start going out hunting for morel mushrooms in the spring. So, I mean, if you're out looking and scouting early for good spots, you'll oftentimes find, you know, blooming May apples in the neighborhood along with the morels.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Not always. I mean, there's no always and there's no never in nature, really, but because it's always a variety of every point in between the extremes.
It's some are in sync with one another, grow well
right.
with one another, assist one another.
Yeah, I mean, they've adapted to different kind of non-competing niches in their ecosystem, or, you know, and so they, you know, are doing their thing kind of at the same time. I mean, they're in the same rhythm with the cycles of nature, but in a different part of the food chain where they're not in direct competition with one another for food space, you know, mates, whatever, especially plants.
Mm.
But I don't know if I'm going to be standing any more heat. I almost got a new car this week. Well, not a new car, but another car that I can travel farther and longer away in. And if I had it now, I would probably go to higher ground, I think, other than my obligation to do this show at least one day every week. For
well,
now.
That sounds like a nice idea to get away from the heat and all.
Yeah, and I mean, regardless of if I take a long journey out of state somewhere to a more friendly state than the one I'm in, I'm still going to take a trip down to the Ozarks to my favorite fishing hole and spend a day or two standing in cold spring water fishing for rainbow trout.
Ah, oh, sounds awesome.
And by the way, this time of year, because of the katydids are out, and this is not so much in the trout parks that we have in Missouri, because those are hatchery-raised fish and they're different. They're not really tuned into nature. But in the wild portions of the streams, you know, they're tuned in to nature better. And you can, there's a trout fly that is an imitation of a katydid. And I put a picture of that in the slideshow, too. It's real pretty, you know, the green chartreuse kind of looking stuff.
Yeah, I see your slideshow.
Mostly what trout are trout fishing, fly fishing especially, is all about is trying to imitate or mimic some sort of insect at some sort of stage in its life cycle that the trout are focused on feeding at that time. Because a lot of times with trout, you know, when these events occur in nature, there's a lot of abundance. Like we talked about the fruit a few shows ago or something. And it's the same way with the emerging aquatic insects and the insects around the streams they live. There's a whole bunch of them all at one time. And the trout will get to where they'll be so focused exclusively on that food that they won't strike, which is a bite. They won't strike at any other thing. You could throw, you know, a hunk of cheese at them and they won't, but you know, that you can't do that with a fly line, of course. But yeah, they get real focused to where, you know, there's so much of that. That's all they want. They want to eat as much of it as fast as they can, and they won't bite on anything else. Oh, I'm about tired of dog days already, and we're just getting started, I think, here.
Just getting started.
Being a long haul. Yeah, we've been in, I don't know how many days in a row. This is like 90-ish or more with over 100 heat index weather we've had in a row, at least a week or something longer. Too much.
Too much. People are moving rather slowly these days.
Everything outside is moving pretty slow.
Yeah.
My old kitty cat don't even hardly, I mean, they get up to take a drink and lay back down in the shade, and that's about all they do.
Well, they're cats, so what else are they supposed to be doing?
Oh, I don't know. They could be out catching something like mice and stuff, which is kind of their job here for me, but it's all right. I wouldn't do it either. I don't even want to go out there at all. You're not even laying in the shade.
Yeah, it's too hot.
Yeah, I had to make a journey into town earlier and drive all the way across town and back, and I don't have air conditioning in my pickup that I drive around, just my touring around thing. I was all of every bit of ready to get home and get back in the AC when I did. And I was only gone like maybe a half hour or something.
Oh, did you have to sit in traffic or anything with no air conditioning?
At a couple of stoplights, yeah. I have my window down, though.
You still hot.
And that was mainly to yell at the other idiots that don't know how to drive, you know, which is everybody but me, pretty much.
Right, don't people listen to you?
Nobody ever listens to me. I'm used to it, though. It's just, I'm not really sure. I don't have any problem voicing my opinion, but I rarely ever expect anybody to actually listen to it. They might hear it, but I might remind them later when they remember that I told them. So, do. Anyway, let's see. I think I have went and rambled on and on and on, and I believe it's about tea time, and we're about ready, only 5 minutes left in the show talking about Katie Dibbs and whatnot. So let's take a little break and everybody have a little tea at this time. Katie Dibbs for too long today. But I like Katie Dibbs. They're cool. They're cool. There's some slides showing
that. Katie Dibbs, that was real interesting.
There's some slides of all different kinds of them and colors and shapes and sizes and maybe fighting with other critters and some with bats catching them in midair. You know, bats are out feeding at night, too, and the ones that eat insects will grab them as well, some of them.
Right.
And bats are one of those other kind of critters like wolves that get a bad rap because of their role in the food chain, basically. You know, they're any nocturnal animals kind of have a little negativity associated with them, typically.
Because they're viewed as predators.
Well, people are afraid of the dark, basically.
Right.
Fundamentally.
And anything in the dark people view as predators, and that's not necessarily so. Not with all animals.
Okay, we got about a minute and a half left, and I'm going to kick us out on time, and I don't know, we'll fool around a little bit in overtime, but it's probably just going to be me and you, so we've already talked, and my throat hurts, but if anybody else does call in here at the last minute and wants to talk, we can do that, and have a little bit of talk and chatter in overtime. Otherwise, I'll kick us out with a little piece of a soundbite here at the end, and the Katie did and didn't will be over and done with for this year anyway. But there'll probably be another year when the Katie dids do and don't. But it was kind of fun. They're kind of neat. I'm more fascinated by nocturnal critters than the average human. So anyway, I'm going to say goodbye and call. You can hang on the line here for a minute after we go in overtime.
Okay,
see,
thank you.
I was running, I saw it look like a big burr or meteorite or something. It went up over the top of the barn and it crashed. I didn't know what. And then I went over there and then it was the herd mentality.
Air clear.
Well, you know, you were talking about because people are afraid of the dark. Well, people are afraid of the dark because they're afraid of predators.
Afraid of what?
Predators. That's why people are afraid of the dark. Because they're afraid of all the
right.
animals in the dark. So, not all of them are hurtful creatures.
Well, humans aren't really prey for anything, much of anything anymore, unless they just, you know, are stupid, kind of.
Right.
I mean, you know,
right.
stumble into a fight, basically, is how they get hurt or killed.
Yeah. Stumble into a place that don't belong.
More or less, or at least don't belong at that particular time of night or whatever.
Yeah. Right. So you're gonna go fishing? You said you're gonna go fishing to your favorite hole? Fishing hole?
Yeah, my honey hole. And I'm not sure, I'm probably gonna go to the lake later for at least a night or two, and I'm not going to be fishing on that deal. It's a different, I mean, maybe I'll fish, but it won't be trout fishing in the lake. And then, I don't know, sometime if we keep having this heat wave like we have in a week or so, I'll be ready to go dip my ass in that cold spring water and for a day or two and get real good and chilled out.
And
stay in a cabin with air conditioning, not in a tent.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Not this time of year.
Need that air conditioning. Yeah.
I often wonder how them old timers that came before us and before they had air conditioning even existed. Oh my God.
Well, when
especially
I was a kid, I didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah, when I was a young kid, it was. I remember when we got the first air conditioner that we had for sure. Kind of like the first TV, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like just the generation before us, they didn't have that stuff. Well, some
right.
of them didn't even have indoor plumbing or electricity much. But they made
they
it.
Made do.
They got by.
They made do.
Oh, there's ways to cool off without the air conditioning for sure. You know, with a hose or in the creek or in some water. Get some water on you and splash it around and start evaporating and your body will cool off pretty quick.
Right.
One of these days we might have to start talking about hemp and cannabis and marijuana and pot and shit like that again. I don't know.
I think that would be a real good idea.
When anybody ever wants to call and talk about it, we're always ready to. We've done a whole bunch of shows before in our first run out in the ring and pretty much covered, you know, everything, more or less. I mean, not a lot has changed since then. There's a few more states that passed things, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the new Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Washington, D.C. thing we got going on.
Yeah.
That's interesting every day. Something different.
You know, there's always something interesting in that in that every day.
Well,
it's nice to talk about
I try not to pay too much attention to it, except I got a friend that doesn't seem to be able not to pay attention to all of it. So I, you know, indirectly hear what's going on at the very least. But, yeah, we're going to start doing some different things with the show. At least, I mean, we're going to keep doing what we do on Tuesdays and Fridays, and I'm kind of just holding this Friday spot open for a friend that's going to come do their own weekly thing in this time slot. But all the other days of the week when we can do a broadcast, anybody that wants to can contact me. And if you're listening or you know me, then you know how to contact me. And we'll figure out a show and set up a show and let them do their own show for, you know, nothing. Because it's not costing us anything but time. So. When they're ready, I guess they will let me know. Several have been invited already. And they're kind of like me. I'm an old hillbilly, and I'm kind of suspicious if somebody wants to give me something for free. You know, it's kind of like a trout with a lure. You know, I'm kind of thinking maybe that's a lure, and there's a hook in it someplace. It's, you know, they're going to want something back for that, whatever they're offering. And so I'm pretty leery of taking, you know, they tell kids, don't take candy from strangers, you know.
Well, yeah, so, I guess adults should do that, right?
Yeah, people are like that. It's a good idea to be cautious. Of course, especially out in this face crack universe, I mean, you know, there's every bit as many as scam artists, liars, cheats, thieves, catfishers, asshats, you know, all of that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just like the real world. The real world's not a lot different than face crack. I mean, people get all bent out of shape about things on the social media platforms, I think, a lot more because there's not the, I don't know, face-to-face contact. You know, you're able to, you know, say things in text and make threats or comment in ways that you probably couldn't get away with out in the street.
Right. Face-to-face is a different story than social media.
Yeah, it almost always is.
Mm-hmm.
Not totally always, you know. I mean, there's always exceptions. There's plenty of good people. I know I've met some really great people, and if it wasn't for face crack, I probably never would have known them. So,
same here.
You know,
I've made extraordinary friends on Facebook.
Yeah, me too. And you take the good with the bad. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too, so to speak. It all kind of goes together, you know.
Well, right, such as in life, also social media as well.
Yeah, it's just a kind of a reflection of real life, more or less, or another way to interact in real life, sort of. So you run into the
Some people are bound to really act out more than they would if they were face-to-face.
Oh, yeah. Especially bullies are like that, for sure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, also part of the bad part about social media is, at least in my eyes, is it lets those asshats or, you know, cocksuckers, you know, dickwads, whatever you want to call them, get away with that kind of behavior longer. You know, they'll keep doing it to somebody else, whoever they trick next, and shit like that. You know, they're able to survive. They're able to survive in that shitty circle of a life that they have longer in that behavior pattern than they would.
They're cowards. They're cowards, and they hide on social media. They couldn't do that.
Exactly. But if you meet them out in the street, then they're the first ones to, you know, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I was just drunk, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, that's those people.
Right.
Probably never been in a real fight their whole life.
Right, but you certainly act like it. You got big guns on social media.
Oh, yeah. Social media makes it easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really not, I mean, I'm not personally like that. I mean, I'm just me. I'm the same me walking the streets as I am on the radio, as I am on Facebook or any place else, you know.
Right.
I ain't playing no games, and I try to be as honest as I can, and I ain't out to rob or rape or cheat or steal from anybody, ever. I've never been like that. And I never will.
Well, of course not. Yeah.
But I don't have any problem, you know, delivering a, you know, negative reinforcement to a cocksucker that really deserves it, for sure, too. Whether they did something to me or something close to me.
Well, isn't that kind of assisting karma? Karma needs assistance sometimes.
Yeah, I don't help. I don't have any problem helping her find her target. Yeah, there he is. There she is. Yeah, take her out.
Yeah.
Roll her down.
Uh-huh.
Not a problem. Not a problem. And I really don't care who likes it or don't like it when it happens. And that's the same real life or face crack. I mean, it's all the same to me.
All right.
All righty then. I guess we didn't get any random callers too much today. We just kind of got to stay in school, and that's all right with me, too. There's always good stuff to talk about on the calendar, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Nature don't ever stop doing something.
There's always something to talk about in the London nature.
Yep. Yes, indeedy. I bought me a barbecue smoker grill thingy like I used to have when I was in college. I found out a garage sale when I went to town and back.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's orange, and it's, I don't know, maybe knee high, and it's a little, it's like a little smoker, but it can be a grill or whatever too. But I used to have one that I took on camping trips all the time when I was like college age, and after I finally burned it up and wore it out. But I found this one at a garage sale for $10, and it ain't hardly ever been used any.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to using it.
Found that at the same place where I found the black raspberry patch. Went by there today, and they was having a garage sale. We're winding up on time, and I'm going to kick us out with a little thingamabobber here or something. So thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
I saw it. It looked like a big burr or meteorite or something. It went up over the top of the barn and crashed. I didn't know what. And then I went over there, and then it was the herd mentality.